What up, what up, what up? It's your boy Too Easy. I got my brother Jay Francis here, and we back with another podcast. Don't even fucking ask why where we've been and why we've been MIA on the podcast stuff, but we're back. We had a great NBA season, so we just want to, you know, talk about that and actually do something fun this time. My brother Jay, he wanted to do a top 10 all-time list, and I'm going to go ahead and let him explain why he wanted to do it.
All right, so, of course, quick disclaimer, if you don't know, I'm a huge Warriors fan, so that obviously means a huge Curry fan. So, and I'm pretty sure you know who won the championship this year. So,
You know what I'm saying?
So, I let the parade finish, all the champagne dried out, got the hangovers gone. So, now after all that, I feel like we should talk about where Curry fits into this top 10, because he has to be in it. I'm sorry. So.
And, yeah, it's a fair statement. I will say that.
Yes.
Steph has been denied all-time greatness when you really think about it. Like, even all the OGs try to slander him and not give him a fair shake. Whether it's people like, oh, if he was in our era, we would just rough him up and do all this. Steph's going to bust your ass. I don't know if what other people are watching, but in any era, in any category, platform, whether it's Rucker Park, whether it's the NBA, entertainers basketball, if it's and one, he is going to give you the work. And pretty much this podcast and essentially what he did in the NBA Finals, and I'm sure if you're listening, you should have watched this by now, because we really only want to do this for real NBA fans who are actually, you know, not casual and they actually watch basketball. If you saw what he did in the Finals, he's pretty much solidified as an all-time great. He was already solidified as an all-time great prior to this, but for me, and I'll get into it a little later, this cemented him for his, like, his own run. And his own, like, statement to say, like, you know what? I am that dude. I don't need help from nobody. I don't need to fit in the system. I am the system. And so with that, the important thing about this podcast is to find out and figure out, where does he fit in all-time greats? And so me and my brother, we went ahead. We did our own top 10 list. We actually have also a top 10 right now list as well. But for right now, we're just going to be doing the all-time list. And so, was this hard for you?
It was. It was really tough. I can't even lie. Because, again, I really made it a point to be objective and to be... But at the same time, it is my 10. So, so I'll keep that in mind. But I am fair. Like, I pride myself on really knowing the history of basketball and respecting the history. So... when I did this, it was not lightly. So, yeah, it was definitely hard for sure. But honestly, I just think after seeing those careers and comparing the careers, like, I don't see how you can't keep the man out of the top 10. Man got 4 rings, got two MVPs, one of them unanimous. Now he has a Finals MVP. That was the only thing that he needed, apparently.
Very true.
So, yeah.
This was hard for me, too. Now, it wasn't hard for me to come up with 10, because once you get to the top 10, it's pretty much like the common names we've all heard of. So, and with that, the criteria to reach that 10 is very high. Like, you have to really be, like, there's no room for, at least for me in my book, there's no room for, like, leaving shit up to interpretation. Either they dominated in that era or they didn't. It's not going to be a situation where I have a lot of love for, like, Dennis Rodman and stuff like that, where he's arguably the best defensive player to ever play basketball, right? But he was such a liability offensively that it's something like, at least you have to tell a story about him. Like, yeah, no, he didn't average like 10 points, but you had to see him defensively. He had to do X, Y, Z. He guarded Jordan. He guarded Karl Malone. You have to tell a whole story about him.
Exactly.
These 10, you don't have to tell a story about him. Each of these 10 players were unequivocally the best players at their position. And so for me, before we go ahead and name our list, I want to go ahead and say, like, what my parameters was and what the correct criteria, what came, what made me come up with my list. And then I'm going to have you go ahead and come up with your, actually, I'm going to let you go first. Like, what was, what determined, like, your list? Like, what were you looking for when you were picking these players and how you placed them as well?
My biggest thing was, there's a, I would say, like, maybe two or three things I was looking for. So, first, one, you have to be a winner. Just, you have to be a winner.
Right.
Like a solidified. So, that means you have to have, for you to even crack top eight, you have to have at least three rings, at least, in my opinion.
Three rings.
You have to have at least three rings.
I like that.
Right? So, that means, you know, as you won, no matter what, you won three rings, like, you were the best player, and you were the bus driver, right?
Absolutely.
So, three rings, right? That, how high was your peak and how long was it? So, okay. Longevity.
Longevity matters.
So that's my huge thing is longevity, right? And my third one, honestly, is just is competition and the degree of difficulty in what you did. For you to get to where you were, how hard was it for you to do it?
Right. So I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I'll elaborate on it a little bit. So, I agree with you. For me, accolades, stats, again, sustained dominance. Mm. Like, how long were you the guy in the league? Like, how long did you run the league? Mm. That matters too. Also, moments, more specifically, playoff moments. What did you do at the highest level of basketball? Mm. Did you fold? Did you dominate? Did you? Is that how you got your fame? Mm. That stuff matters to me as well. And, yeah, I already touched on accolades and whatnot. Because, again, for me, resume matters. I know a lot of people are like, but to me, your resume tells your whole story. If I'm going on a job interview, right, and I'm trying to convince these people that I'm the right guy for the job, mm-hmm. I'm going to use my resume and what I did. So if I'm going to say, let's say I'm player X, right, and I'm trying to convince you that I'm a top 10 player, my resume has to speak for itself. So I'm going to use that. And I'm also going to use, again, what you did in the playoffs, what you did in the finals, what you did in the championship game, elimination games. How did you... Like, did you ever fold? Did you ever do things that impacted your legacy? Did you do things that, like, whether it's positive or negative? So all this stuff went into it and coming into my list. And we can go ahead and start. So I'm going to let you go ahead and go with your top 10 first.
All right. So, again, I'll say again, this is hard.
So just remember the criteria, though.
Remember the criteria. Oh, one thing I want to add, too, was impact. Huge thing.
Impact, yes. Impact on the league, too.
How, yeah. What did, what you did, would this league be the exact same if you never existed? That's a big thing. So that's a huge thing. Okay. Okay. So.
Now, I don't know how you did your list. So before we start, I will give a disclaimer as well. Mm. I did remove Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain from my list just because. Again, just because of their era. Now, I respect what Bill Russell did, but I'm not going to be that guy that's going to lie and act like I watched those Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell's games. So I can't be, at least I can, but then I can't. Mm. Like, if I'm going to be objective about Bill Russell, it's going to be about, like, shit I read about or maybe a couple YouTube, but you didn't really have access to those games. So I'm more so going to go off of, like, the top 10 best players in the past 50 years. Mm. I'm more so going to go at so, and I'm pretty much going to be basing it off of, like, when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came in the league. So, because yeah. As far back I can go, I remember, not remember, like, I was there, but we have access to Hardwood Classics. Mm. We have access to YouTube. I was able to watch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar play. I was able to see his numbers and all that stuff. I can see Will Chamberlain and all that stuff too. But again, I feel like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the line for me. Now, I don't know if you did the same thing.
Mm.
Or did you include him?
I included him.
You did?
Honestly, yeah, I did. But just because I feel like it, I'd be crazy to not put him in there. But look, not man. Saying you're not, like, that's a great point. That is a great point that you didn't. Because I'm huge on the Skip Bayless. I'm huge on if you know what you're talking about when you're talking basketball. So I'm huge on that. So if you just, you know, you don't want to include them in there, I completely get that.
Look, and granted, I can modify my list. I can put it if if we're including Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, and I'll give a spoiler alert. I'm just going to tell people right now. If Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain are included in my list, Steph Curry is not top 10 then. I'm just letting you know right now. All right, well, so I'm trying to give Steph Curry a fair shot by not including them.
Yeah.
Because if we're, just like you said, if we're going off of statistics, impact, accolades, playoff moments, all that stuff, Bill Russell is absolutely above Steph. And Wilt Chamberlain, I mean, come on. Wilt Chamberlain was Shaq before Shaq. So he's going to have to, unless we're going to say now that Steph Curry is above Shaq.
He only got two rings.
Listen, man.
He only got two rings. He averaged
50 points in the season.
And still only got two rings.
The bone I'm trying to give Steph is that Wilt Chamberlain played so long ago, and I didn't get to witness it. And again, the competition, things of that nature, is why, you know what, let me just remove them from the conversation.
I'm going to just go ahead. Because in my opinion, because I'm a, whatever, spoiler, 10 was for 10 for me was Wilt. But I'm a...
You had Steph Curry.
Yes.
You had Steph Curry. Yes. See, I haven't even let him get the list off yet, and you're telling me you have Steph Curry above Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt
Chamberlain, yes. I have reasons for it. I got receipts. All right. I got receipts. I'm going to be like, Nick, I'm going to let you know how I got there. But, all right, man. But I got receipts, right? Reason why I'm going to put Shaq
above. No, just say your, say your list right now. And
well,
and
okay.
With everybody in it. Don't even modify your list. Right, whatever.
Right. Where, okay, so before my list, before I modified it, I had number 10, I had Wilt. Number 9, I had Bird. 8, I had Steph. 7, I have Bill. 6, I have LeBron. 5, I have Duncan. 4, I have Kobe. 3, I have Magic. 2, I have Kareem. Number 1 is Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Michael Jeffrey. Okay, say it one more time and a little slower. I just want to process what you just said.
Again. Anyway, it's going to be a good one.
All right.
Number 10 is going to be Wilt.
Okay.
Number 9 is going to be Larry Bird.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I thought I heard you wrong.
Yeah, you're
heard you right.
You heard me right. And I got the receipts. You heard me right.
Oh, so, my God.
Number 9 is Bird. Okay? Number 9 is Bird. Number 8 is going to be Steph Curry. Steph Ward, or whatever. Or
this Steph man Curry. Got Steph Curry above Larry Bird.
Yes,
and
sir.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Number 7 is going to be Bill Russell. I had to put him in there just because he has 11 rings. Like, is what it is. I have my reasons for almost taking him out, but... He's in there, right? So, fine.
You know he won, like... You know he won, like... If I... Now, granted, don't... Excuse me. This is me off the top of my head.
Yeah.
You know he has, like, 5 MVPs, right? You know Bill Russell has 5. So, it's not just... It's not just the fact that he won championships. He was also the most valuable player when he played.
Of course.
So, I just want... Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah. Go ahead. Continue.
And, again, because... Like I said, I can... Like, Achilles' case, too. Like,
you can. You... Well, you can try. Go ahead and keep going.
Okay, of course. Right.
Yeah.
So number 6 is going to be LeBron James.
A
lot of people are going to kill me for that one.
You got LeBron outside of the top 5 all time?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's hear it.
Yep. Because everybody above him won with the same team at least 5 times. So, or 4 or 5. Actually, at least 5 times.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. Okay.
So Duncan is 5. He beat LeBron even when he was old. So that's Duncan's 5. 4 is going to be Kobe.
All right.
Kobe,
okay.
Because Kobe did what Steph did this year, and him and Duncan are the only people to do it, and that's win without a top 75 player.
All time?
Yes.
Pau Gasol's a top 75.
No, he's not.
Pau Gasol's not a top 75?
He's a Hall of Famer. He's not a top 75.
Okay, all right. Wow.
A little sidebar. The only players in history to win without a top 75 player multiple titles is Steph, Kobe, and Duncan. Those are the only players who've done it. And so,
this is a separate podcast, but let you tell it. Klay Thompson's a top 75 player, and he was snubbed.
That's
what a lot of people are saying. But now they're trying to use it for Steph's argument.
I mean,
it's all good.
Klay in Game 6 killed my argument. Like, okay.
Just saying. I'm glad you admitted that. All right. Keep going.
But yeah,
so LeBron at 6.
LeBron at 6.
Duncan at 5. You said Kobe at 4.
Mm-hmm. And then number 3, I got Magic. Number 2, I got Kareem. Number 1 is Jordan.
Okay, so I have no it. Okay, look, I don't have any issue with probably the top 3. Maybe even top 5. I really don't. Like, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it per se. I would probably have LeBron up there, but let me go ahead and say my list, and then we can argue about it. Okay. And we'll see. Maybe I'm tripping. Again, full disclosure, I did not include Bill Russell. I did not include Will Chamberlain again. So if I did, Steph would not be in my top 10. I'm just letting people know right now. It's not no shade to Steph. That would just mean Steph's 11 or 12. So it's not like if Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain exist, right, he ain't a top 15 all time. He's not even like, it's not even that he's not a top 12 all time. Mm-hmm. Steph's still amazing. Okay. So, but I removed those two to make this more interesting and allow Steph to get his flowers. So, nice. Boom. Let's do it. Number 10, Steph Curry.
Yeah.
He's number 10. Amazing. Number 9 is Hakeem Olajuwon.
Okay.
Number 4 is, hold on.
Number 4?
You know, I was killing you over Larry Bird, but low-key, I had Larry Bird at 8. Larry Bird at 8, Shaquille O'Neal at 7,
okay,
Tim Duncan at 6,
mm-hmm,
Kobe Bryant at 5, Magic Johnson at 4, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at 3, LeBron James at 2, Michael Jordan at 1.
LeBron's higher than I thought he would be. Okay.
Now we can get into it. Now, if you want, let me just real slow, let me say it one more time, mm-hmm, so people can catch it.
Yes, sir.
Steph Curry at 10, Hakeem at 9, Larry Bird at 8, Shaquille O'Neal at 7, Tim Duncan at 6. He's really tied with Kobe, if I'm being honest, but I'll just put him at 6.
Right.
Kobe Bryant at 4. Kobe Bryant at 5. Magic Johnson at 4. Mm-hmm. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at 3. Braun at 2. Jordan at 1.
Okay.
So, do you have any issue with where I place people on my list?
I think LeBron should... I'm fine with LeBron being at 2. I have my reasons, obviously, why he shouldn't be higher than Magic, because he doesn't have more rings than Magic, but fine. He has the most points, he has the stats, so I get why he got
right.
So, I think Shaq's fine at 7. I would probably have Hakeem, either at 11 or 10, something like that.
You would have Hakeem outside of the top 10.
Yeah, I wouldn't have Hakeem in the top 10, and I wouldn't have... Duncan and Kobe, that's fine. And obviously Jordan's fine. So I would say that's the only issue I would have. Probably Steph being a little low. And Hakeem being above him. That's my biggest one.
Hakeem being above Steph, that's your issue?
That's my biggest one.
Okay, so let's go into that one. Let's start with that one first.
Okay.
Hakeem versus Steph. Again, granted,
mm-hmm,
Steph Curry is amazing.
Yeah.
He's, outside of just being objective or whatever, Steph is one of actually my favorite players to watch. I love Steph. I've told my brother this all the time. If kids want to learn how to play basketball, they don't have to, buy better basketball or have to go watch a basketball tape. They could literally just turn on a Warriors game and watch how Steph Curry plays basketball, because he has one of the highest basketball IQs. He's one of the most skilled. I could argue he is the most skilled basketball player to ever play the game. Mm. So I have immense respect for Steph Curry.
Yes, it does.
That being said,
oh boy,
the idea that Steph is above Hakeem, to me, I won't say it's blasphemous. I just think it's a little ridiculous. And so here's why.
Okay.
So as y'all see, I've named the people that I named on my list, right? I said Hakeem, Steph, Bird, Shaquille, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, all the people above, right?
Yeah.
Here's my thing about Steph, and I love Steph. And he even has this thing. If I'm going to put, for some reason, we've downgraded the value of being a two-way player.
Mm.
As if, for example, when Kawhi was doing what he was doing, and maybe people felt like LeBron James was the best player in the NBA or whatever, and he might may well be, but I'm just saying, they would say, instead of saying Kawhi is the best player, right, they'll say he's the best two-way player.
Right.
As if to be a two-way player, to be great at offense and defense, doesn't make you better than someone who's just maybe, this is not to say LeBron isn't, but I'm just saying, to say somebody who's just maybe well known for his offensive talents, not necessarily defense, right?
Okay.
And so me, I disagree with that. To me, the most valuable player for me would be somebody who can dominate offensively and dominate defensively. Steph Curry, at his position, is one of the most dominant point guards to play offensively. Defensively, he's average. He's a great, you know, he's not somebody. I know people try to hunt him or try to like target him on defense, but he's actually a pretty decent defender. Mm-hmm. Hakeem Olajuwon is the greatest defender to ever play basketball.
Arguable.
It's not even arguable.
It's arguable.
Once we go over the numbers,
because you do realize they never gave out Defensive Player of the Year when Bill Russell was playing. So you do realize that.
Great. I guarantee you, this might be blasphemous for Celtics fans or Bill Russell's fans. I guarantee you Bill Russell himself will tell you Hakeem Olajuwon is a better defender than he is.
Yeah,
all right. Here's some numbers. Yeah. Here's some numbers, right? Here's some numbers for you.
Yeah.
You would say the Dikembe Mutombo, right, is like a phenomenal defender. Maybe one of the greatest defenders of all time, right?
Absolutely.
The Dikembe Mutombo right now as it stands is the second most all-time in blocks. Second most.
Okay.
Right? 3,200 blocks. He made his bones being a defensive player. And keep in mind, Dikembe played for, I don't know, maybe I want to say 18, 19 years to amass those level of blocks.
Right. He played for a while. Yeah.
He still is 600 blocks away from the guy who is all-time leading in blocks. You know who that person is?
Hakeem Olajuwon.
He's that dominant. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. Hakeem Olajuwon is ninth all-time in steals. Just to put in perspective for Bill Russell guys, Wilt Chamberlain guys, Shaquille O'Neal guys, Dikembe Mutombo guys, let's say Dennis Rodman guys, Draymond Green guys, people who we think are like great defenders.
Mm-hmm.
The only centers, the next center to be top in steals is in the top 60. 60.
Okay.
Everyone else are guards.
Okay.
And Hakeem is top 10 in steals. I just want people to understand defense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're talking defense, right?
Yeah.
Let alone if you're posting up on me, I'm getting like I'm gonna make it a hard day for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put that in effect. Now that's just defensively.
Right.
Offensively, Hakeem is the most talented offensive player to ever play basketball. Skill wise. Not saying like dominant like Shaquille O'Neal, obviously, you know, he got but we can
got
go into Shaquille
moves,
O'Neal, all that.
Yeah.
But Hakeem is the most skilled post player to ever play basketball. He had guard like skills. So I'm telling you a player who's arguably, let's just say, me being objective, right? Even though, to me, it's unequivocal he's the best defensive player to ever play. But he's arguably the best defensive player to ever play. And he was no slouch on offense. He was arguably the most best offensive player at the center position.
He's amazing.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To play, I'm now going to say a guard. Who's, again, changed the game offensively, whatever, is above Hakeem Olajuwon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that. That's just eye level. That's just skills, accolade, whatever. Now, let's go off of accolades with Hakeem Olajuwon. Steph Curry, as it stands right now, he has 4 All-NBA first teams, right? Maybe I'm just going off the top. I'm not reading anything, guys. It's just me going off the top of my head being a Steph Curry fan. He has 4 All-NBA first teams.
Okay.
Hakeem Olajuwon has 6.
Okay.
Keep in mind. Mm-hmm. Now, again, this is also, I give a little, because Steph played in the same era as Damian Lillard, Chris Paul. So some of those work may have been taken away from him. But while those players are great, Hakeem Olajuwon had 6 All-NBA first teams playing in the same era as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaquille O'Neal, Patrick Ewing, and David Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
All 4 of those guys are
Hall of
objectively, not even Hall of Famer.
Like,
top 5 all-time centers.
At their position, of course, yeah.
Okay? Sure. And he has 6 All-NBA first teams, right? Obviously, he has MVP. Obviously, he has a Finals MVP. Obviously, he won back-to-back championships. So, Steph has more rings than him on that front. But as far as competition now, whereas, because people think when Michael Jordan left, it was like a cakewalk to finals now. No, it's not.
Yeah.
You still had prime Charles Barkley, prime Patrick Ewing. Mm-hmm. You still had prime David Robinson. Mm-hmm. You still had a bunch of studs on teams that Hakeem had to go through. And he went and did that. He won a championship with an NBA MVP, and then he went back and did it again. And in that second year, Michael Jordan was playing, y'all. I don't know if people know. Michael Jordan was out there. He was playing.
Came back in the middle of the season, man.
And the team. I don't want to hear it. He was in the middle of the season. He got his ass beat. The Magic.
Okay.
That beat the dog shit out of Michael Jordan, right?
Yep.
Hakeem swept them.
Okay.
Swept them.
Yep.
With Shaquille O'Neal on that team. So, not only that, in majority of those series, again, this is me just generally talking. Majority of series, he was averaging 29 points, 15 rebounds, 4 steals, and 6 blocks. Y'all heard that right.
6 blocks?
6 blocks. 6. Y'all can Google it. Look it up yourself.
Mm-hmm.
People think, and another thing people don't remember is that they think that Hakeem only went to 2 finals. He actually went to 3.
He did.
He, like, people forget that Hakeem was Hakeem Olajuwon. And he was dominant from the second he stepped on the court. Wasn't no like, hey, give me a couple years. No, he was dominant the second he went on the court. And then his second year, I believe, he went to the finals.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to tell people.
Ralph Sampson was pretty good, too.
He was. He was. Again, nobody said. He was. Right. Kevin Durant was very good, too. And, but listen. I'm just saying.
I got something for that, too.
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. So my thing is with Hakeem.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. People talk about clutch key, you know, the whole Rudy Tomjanovich, never forget the heart of a champ. And they think that's all it was. Just that one window where Hakeem was great.
He was no, a 16.
He was great for many years.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, for me, for Steph to go above Hakeem, meanwhile, they do match in finals MVPs. Steph does have more rings. But for the other accolades that Hakeem Olajuwon did, is more impressive than what Steph did. And for me to put somebody above Hakeem, I got to look at, okay, what other things are you better than this player at? What other accomplishments have you done over this player? And Steph is not there yet. The paint is not dry.
Yep.
So that's why I have him at 10 and Hakeem at 9. You can go ahead.
All right. So, nice argument. Pretty cool, cool.
Thank you. I put a lot of thought in that.
I like it.
Kind of freestyled it, but you know.
I like
it. A lot of thought.
That's pretty argument. Okay. That's pretty good. All right. So, my big thing, because you want to say, okay, he went to 3 finals. So, you're saying, okay, well, he's 2-1 in finals, right?
Yes.
So, and to your, to prior to your point also, the person he lost to was Larry Bird. so that's a huge reason.
Are we holding that against him? Are we holding that against him?
I mean, you can hold it now. That's also going to go against Bird, because the reason I have him above Bird is because Bird,
always
had a better team. All right,
man.
I'm just saying. All
right, go ahead.
Bird played with 3 Hall of Famers,
go
or
ahead.
2 Hall of Famers or whatever. So,
go ahead.
But, you know, the people's point, that's why they're Hall of Famers. But anyway.
Right.
So, Hakeem, right? He was 2-1. So, that was my thing. He went to that one finals. That was what, 1984? He didn't go back to another finals for 10 years. So, that's one. Two.
That is a fact.
Two, I love Hakeem. He's a Nigerian. That's my boy. I love him. He never, ever in his life changed the game of basketball the way Steph Curry did.
What? How did he not?
How did he change the game of basketball?
At the center position?
Yeah.
Making more skill required to be a center?
That's not necessarily required, though.
Okay.
Like, and as you said, the whole point, the reason why he's top 10, Hakeem is one of one.
Are there duplicates of him? Is that your argument?
No,
you're
like,
saying
did
that there's
you,
duplicates of Steph?
Like, did literally basketball and how the entire league, how they play it, did it change by one guy, what he did?
No, it did not. But I will say, this might be, you know, off the point, but LeBron James, when he became the frozen one in the 2011 finals, and because he had no post game, guess who he went to get a post game? He went to Hakeem Olajuwon because he needed a post game. Kobe Bryant, when he wanted to develop his post game, he went to Hakeem Olajuwon. So maybe he didn't change the game, but clearly he was the plug if you wanted to learn how to post up.
I mean, you could have called Kevin McHale too, but anyway,
fuck. Hey, Kevin McHale be like, yo, you had access to Hakeem and you called me? Nah, brother, I'm going to need you to go ahead and go down to Nigeria or go to Houston and go ahead and get
Hakeem, right? Do something, right? But yeah, so those are two things to change the game of basketball. He already doesn't have more rings than him. And so we're just going to not talk about the years he wasn't going to the finals where Isaiah was winning, Kareem was winning. Because again, Isaiah could have beat the Lakers. He could have beat them and went to the finals, but no. He kept losing to the Lakers. Now, to the credit, my 2 and 3 is Magic and Kareem. So
okay, that's all I'm saying.
So I'll give him some bail on that. But that Steph's the only unanimous MVP in history. Has Hakeem ever averaged 30?
No, I don't believe so. He did
never averaged 30.
He did in the playoffs. Steph, now again, if not, I don't want to interject. Let you get your shit off. I just want to say because I feel like you throw shots if I got Hakeem. I'm just saying I have to.
If we're doing playoff comparisons, though.
Yeah. Hakeem's playoff numbers are much better than Steph Curry's. I just wanted to point that out. Go ahead.
Yeah, of course. Because, again, Hakeem, when he came, he was all around. Steph, I would say, again, you asked me, you know, what's my big thing in the list? Degree of difficulty. It is way harder for Steph to be Steph than it is for Hakeem to be Hakeem. Say what you want. Even if he didn't have the post game and all that shit, he could still play defense and he could still score at the rim. So even if Hakeem wasn't amazing, the best post-game guy you ever seen, he was a walking 20 and 10 anyway because he was a king.
I understand it is harder for Steph to be Steph than Hakeem to be Hakeem.
Now,
I'm not going to be one of those people, though, just because you was born different, that now we're going to hold it against him. That's not his fault that he was born 7'2".
Hey, you're right. Absolutely. Okay. And because my point is, Steph could have said the same thing. Okay, let me just bulk up. Let me just get really fast like Russell Westbrook. Let me just handle and do all. You know, you can't get fast.
Okay.
He could have used that as I can't get in the NBA because of this certain thing.
Right.
Right. I'm not faster than this guy or whatever. Again.
Right.
What's the hardest skill to do in basketball?
Shoot the basketball.
That's shoot the basketball. Well, who is the greatest shooter of all time? That is Stephen Curry.
That is Steph Curry.
What is the whole reason, in my eyes, why he won this championship? And my eyes, why the Celtics even got to the championship in the first place? Is because they were shooting the lights out throughout every team they played. And because of that, they were shooting better. Three is better than two. Because of that, that change in the game, that got them to the finals. In my eyes, the Bucks were still better than the Celtics, but the Celtics made 23s in game 7. So you're not going to beat
them. That's a fact.
So it just is what it is, right? So
You're telling me, again, nothing cut you off.
Right.
You're telling me being the greatest shooter of all time is more valuable than being the best defensive player of all time?
Yes. Better offense is better than defense. Absolutely.
All right.
No question. Oh, man. No question, man. All I'm right, sorry. Man. Like I said.
All right. Because you know I'll argue the Warriors really won that championship because of how great they played defensively.
Of course.
On Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and all those other guys.
But
go ahead and continue. Keep staying your point for Steph Curry.
Right. So he's greatest shooter of all time. He holds the record for the best regular season of all time. He's only lost 9 games in the regular season. He did that. I don't know if people know this also.
That's a good point. I forgot about that.
He has the highest rating.
He also lost 3-1 lead in the finals.
Both of our centers were injured. You had another player that could score 41. Right. But fine. Ain't no excuses, right?
No excuses.
So, again, y'all can have that one. We're 3-1 against LeBron. I'll take that.
Go ahead.
That's fine, right? But, yeah, I don't know if people know this. Steph Curry holds the record for the scoring in the fourth quarter. Out of any finals and finals history, by the way, any player who's ever played a finals, this is including everybody who played top 10, they never scored more in that fourth quarter to win the game or whatever. So what does that tell you? That means when your team needed you, he scored at the highest clip ever at any finals performer ever. That has to go into effect, right?
It does, yes. So again, we're talking about him doing that once, though.
No, it's not once. He did that in this playoffs. The only KD would beat him by like maybe a couple points in those KD years. Mm-hmm. And then this year when he won, he had the highest average. And it was throughout the entire playoffs. It wasn't even just the finals. Right. It was up the entire playoffs. So that means he was the most clutch player in the playoffs by far. So he's more clutch than people give him credit for. He's the most skilled player ever. He has the greatest regular season of all time. He has 4 rings, 2 MVPs. One of them is unanimous. And he has a finals MVP. Just in my opinion, I love Hakeem. You're just not better than the guy that won 4 times and you won twice. And by the way, the back-to-back rings you won with the top 75 player and Clyde Drexler also. That's what people don't mention.
Wait, hold on. I just remembered.
Yeah.
I can't believe I even like... So Steph is the only player to win... But he won 2 with Kevin Durant.
He did.
So why are we not... If it's a plus for winning without a top 75, why are we giving him a knock for winning with a top 12. Because
he went to 2 finals before he got him, so I don't care.
Stop.
Like, man, if y'all don't get... I don't care. Right, he went to 2 finals. goes. All right, and you needed a bunch of suspensions and injuries to even lose your second.
Let me ask you, how many rings do you think Hakeem Olajuwon wins if he played with Kevin Durant?
If he played with Kevin Durant?
How many rings?
I don't know. It never happened. So
just use your own mind.
I'm going to lose. It's a hypothetical. I'm going to lose. It's a hypothetical. I'm going to lose.
Why would you lose?
Because you're making the bones.
What you mean?
All right, fine. If Hakeem had it, so KD.
My thing is... Yeah. My thing is, when we're talking about he won more rings or blah, 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 right? Yeah, yeah. And whatever. Like, and Hakeem only has two rings, right? Again, whatever how you want to feel about it, cool. Like, Hakeem did play in the same era where the guys who you just put in your top five existed. You didn't even put LeBron in your top five. So, Steph has not played against anybody all time in the top five, according to you.
He's not in my top five.
Hakeem has. Hakeem has played against Jordan. He's played against Kareem. Mm-hmm. He's played against Magic. He's played against Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan don't count. He's played against whatever.
He's played against Shaq.
Shaq. Bird. Everybody in that damn top ten. Absolutely. Hakeem has went against them.
Absolutely.
Steph has not. And again, is that his fault? Just like, is it Hakeem's fault for being tall? No, it's not his fault. But that does play a part in it as well as far as competition. So if we're going to knock him for only getting two rings, we also got to knock Steph as well for one of the person who should have been his competition actually teamed up with him, and he's regarded as, at least in his era, the top three player in that era.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Regardless, whatever list you want to play, he played with him. So if he did not exist, LeBron may be sitting on six rings, and Steph might be sitting on two.
Maybe.
Fine, whatever. But I'm just saying, if we're going to do that, because I feel like if you're talking about competition, and Grant, it is harder for Steph to be Steph. Yes, but also people don't remember that Hakeem's second ring was the hardest route to a finals ever and to win.
Yeah.
He was a six seed. He came into the playoffs as a six seed. He went up against the second seed or whatever, second or third seed, Utah Jazz, with Karl Malone being Karl Malone. He beat them. He beat them in five, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on, played Charles Barkley, beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And so all I'm saying to people is, again, it sounds like I'm mad if Steph is above Hakeem. I'm not. I'm just saying that it's not an insult to Steph to say that Hakeem Olajuwon is a better player.
It's just like
than
a
Steph
higher,
Curry. I feel like we're just being prisoners of the moment.
And bro, you gotta remember this too. Steph already has more rings than him. He's not even done playing yet, so he could easily win another one this year, and it's not even close. Hakeem, like all the stuff you said about
then
Hakeem,
I'm with
it
you.
Wouldn't even matter.
Then
right?
I'm with you. Then I'm with you.
And
he's
by the way,
on five rings. But I'm just saying, like, we're not gonna act like. Granted, you want to act like that, fine. Maybe other people who listen to this might want to act like that, fine.
Yeah.
To me, those two KD rings are some of the nastiest rings I've ever seen, and it means nothing to me.
That's,
as far as I know,
that's cool.
Steph has two rings, and this one he won is the most legit ring he's won, because LeBron played without Kyrie, without Kevin Love, and he won. And then they gave that bullshit finals to Andre Iguodala, who arguably, the fact that it was even up in the air was ridiculous to me, and that's kind of on Steph, because Steph didn't play like how he played this year against LeBron in 2015.
He was hurt, but fine.
Bro,
but
mess me with that.
But
come
fine.
On, bro.
But like I said,
Steph was hurt in these finals.
But if we lace him up, right?
Steph was hurt in these finals.
I'll take away that excuse.
That game four, where he played one of his best playoff performances, he hurt himself in game three.
Yeah.
And he still balled out. So I don't want to hear about injury.
Yeah.
Everybody's injured. It's the finals. Giannis hyper extended his knee and he dropped 50 in the closeout. So I don't want to hear that. If you that dude, you're going to hoop. And Steph proved it this year.
So with that same logic, don't talk to me about Kyrie and Kevin Love being gone. You picked two injury prone superstars. You decided to go play with them. You finished the job if you're the best player on the court, right?
All
right.
Come on.
That's my point.
We give
Kawhi the same flowers for beating the Warriors and when we only had Steph out there. we killed him for those same finals when Steph dropped 50 and still lost. It didn't matter. So we still hold those same finals against him. By the way, he's gone to eight finals. I mean, sorry, he's gone to six finals.
He's gone to six. which is impressive. Again, this is impressive.
He's won four of them.
He went to four of them. He went to six finals with Kevin Durant. I'm sorry. I'm not sure if Kevin Durant is not there. I'm sorry. He was down 3-1 to OKC. And if Russell Westbrook and KD don't shit the bed, they might be at home.
Say that again.
If Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant don't shit the bed.
Exactly.
So if you're going to say what you said about Draymond and Andrew Bogut, whatever,
right,
losing that 3-1 lead, that applies the same thing and Steph.
I want to keep this I'm not putting any excuses on 2016. Y'all can have 2016. That's fine. I'm not putting excuses on the injuries. I'm big on if you lace them up, you out there, I don't want to hear nothing. So I'm huge on that. But at the same time, if you want to say the KD shit, way I see it, that really only hurts KD's legacy, to be honest.
It does. But it hurts Steph's too.
It does.
Because unless you're going to tell me now, Clyde Drexler is the same caliber of player as Kevin Durant.
In that era, yeah.
Are you serious?
Let's go there. Other than Michael Jordan, who is a better shooting guard than Clyde Drexler?
Where is Clyde Drexler in this list? No. Where is he in this list? Is he even knocking on this list?
No.
KD is...
Because Michael Jordan kept beating him over and over.
A couple spots outside of this list.
Yeah.
Stop. Clyde Drexler was never as good as Kevin Durant was.
He never was.
He never won an MVP.
He's never won an MVP. He was close to it. He was like, MVP candidate? He took his team to the finals that lost in 92.
Because the funny thing about this shit is, we're arguing about Hakeem Olajuwon. You put Steph above Larry Bird. I don't even want to argue with you about that part. Okay. So, for me, Hakeem, for Steph, again, Steph, the paint ain't dry yet.
He's
still painting his canvas. If he wins another ring and another finals MVP, I have no issue putting him above Hakeem. I'm just saying, we can't be prisoners of the moment, bro. Like, just because Steph had an amazing finals, we just erase some of the stuff he had in his past as well, being a second fiddle to some championships.
He was. What do you consider a second fiddle?
What do you mean?
What do you consider a second fiddle? If player A averaged 28 points and player B averaged 27 points, is he really a second fiddle or is he a 1A, 1B?
Yes. What do you mean?
He's a 1A.
One guy had more points, had more rebound, had more value, was more dominant in that finals. Someone has to be second to that. Yeah. Someone has to be.
Somebody has to be, right?
It's going to be ridiculous, but I can say... Andrew Wiggins was just as important in that finals as Steph was, because if Andrew Wiggins isn't locking up Jason Tatum and helping and supporting the points, they might not win that championship. So it's not to say that Steph didn't have no impact in the finals, but
it's
different when you're driving the bus.
Yes.
It's different when there is no cake. And that's what everybody wanted to see in these finals. So I'm saying, like, if all it took was this ring... Then he was already top 10 anyway then.
Because that's the crazy thing. I didn't need this ring for me to know he was better than him.
I did.
I always knew he was more skilled than those
Fuck
dudes.
All this.
We're going to Bird.
We're going to
Let's
Bird.
Let's go to Bird.
This shit going to take 2 hours if we keep going with him. Listen, we're going to Bird. The fact that you have Steph Curry above Larry Bird is insane to me.
Okay.
Hakeem I could even live with. Because, fine, maybe you just don't value defense. Whatever. If we're talking about dominance, like literally being that dude.
Yeah.
Larry Bird has, last time I checked, he has at least 8 All-NBA first teams. 8. Larry Bird has at least, last time I checked, 3 MVPs.
Three straight
MVPs. Three straight.
Yep.
And
won a ring in one of those, by the way.
He won a ring one. Hey, that's
and only
fine.
One.
Again, he played in the same era as somebody that you put in your top three all time.
You were just as good as him. So I don't want to hear that. You were just as good as him.
Just as good as him. So you think Steph Curry is just as good as Magic Johnson? Is that your argument?
Is Steph Curry is just as good?
Yes.
Just as skilled? Absolutely.
You just said Larry Bird was just as good as the third best player all time. You just said that.
Yes.
And you're telling me Steph Curry is better than that guy.
Yes. Because if you give Steph Kareem, he has six rings.
Y'all heard it.
If you give Steph Kareem, he has at least six rings. So that's all I'm going to say.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. What makes you think that? KD. That's why.
KD?
Yes.
You know they lost two of those. Wait. You know they only won two out of the four, right?
Two out of the four rings?
Yeah. So it's not a lock that they're going to win.
They didn't lose.
It's not going to lock they're going to win.
They lost.
Magic still has to be Magic if he's playing with Kareem. Of course. Just like you said with Kareem won one ring before Magic.
Correct.
One.
Yeah.
So the idea that, anybody could play with Kareem and he would win, it didn't happen. So, and Magic won without Kareem. Absolutely. So we're not going to do that.
I'm not telling you
so
now we're I'm telling not, you the second greatest point guard of all time and can play with him.
You're telling me. But you're telling me. And granted, Kareem is a Kareem, and I understand Steph is a because this is what happens now. Now I feel like we get to a place where I have to start slandering Steph. And I'm not going to do that.
Let's go there. Because
I still love
it.
Steph.
Let's do it.
But come on, bro. Like, Larry Bird. Let's just go through Larry Bird a little
bit. Yeah.
It's like you said, Larry Bird. Three straight MVPs, bro.
Yeah.
He was in the finals at least, last time I checked, what, five times?
Mm.
Right? Won three of them? And the person he... I just want to apologize for the technical difficulties. But we're back.
Yeah,
so I think where we left was Larry Bird. Just going over Larry Bird a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like I said... Larry Bird, three MVPs, absolutely. Three rings. Again, he was driving the bus of those finals MVPs and those MVPs and whatnot.
Absolutely.
And eight times All-NBA first team. He even has some all-defensive teams as well. So, again, he's a better defender than Steph. And then, obviously, granted, he played maybe 10, 11, 12 years in the league.
Yeah, something like that.
From when he started... So now, and Steph did too, to a certain degree. He took a couple years, but Larry Bird was Larry Bird from the second he went in the league. And he dominated. He gave everyone who was in front of him that work. The level of trash talking that Michael Jordan developed, he said he got it from Larry Bird. Larry Bird was that dude.
Yep.
And so, that being said, granted, now Steph has more rings than Bird. But that is literally it. That's the only other... all-time three-pointers made and attempted, fine. Cool. All-time, maybe three-point percentage, cool. But other than that, Bird is above Steph in everything else. He's a better passer than Steph. He's a better rebounder than Steph. He's a better scorer than Steph.
No, he's not.
He's better at...
No.
How is he not?
No, he's not.
How is he not?
So why is his career average not higher then? Explain that.
Because of injuries. What you mean? Because of injuries.
Injuries, guys.
Injury. Am I lying?
Injuries.
He got hurt.
You just said he was the best scorer.
He got hurt. But his
ago.
Peak.
Now it's injuries.
But Bert, and then we're talking peak. His
saying.
Peak
mm-hmm.
was higher than Steph's peak.
He's the only player in history to average 30 on 50, 40, 90. You're telling
okay,
me he's the best scorer?
In a guard-friendly league. Larry Bird was putting up numbers in a center and front court generated league. And yet he was still dominating. We're not gonna.
I'll let you cook.
Listen,
keep
man.
Going,
listen, cook. I'm just saying. He's going toe to toe with Michael Jordan, the greatest player of all time. Magic Johnson, the greatest point guard of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He's going against Isaiah, arguably one of the greatest point guards of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He's going against Hakeem Olajuwon. He's going against Dominique Wilkins.
Mm-hmm.
He's going against these high caliber of players, and he's. Beating them.
And you're taller than Steph, and you're still not a more skilled scorer than him?
He's not.
That's all
he
I'm
is.
Saying. He's not even a better shooter than Steph. So how can you say he's more skilled?
Okay, to say that, again, that's like saying Kobe Bryant is not a better defender than Hakeem Olajuwon. I think Kobe will be fine with that. Hakeem is the greatest defensive player of all time. Steph is the greatest shooter of all time. So if you're not better than him, that's not a knock on you.
But that
that's not
goes
a knock
against-
on you. But guess what else he is? He's a better post player.
That's fine.
He's a better passer. He's a better leader.
Arguably.
He's a better winner.
Okay.
He has more MVPs.
How's he a better winner?
How is he not a better winner?
You don't have more rings. So how are you a better winner than someone that doesn't have more rings than you?
I'm sorry. Again, on teams that Larry Bird won, was anybody even debated better than him?
No.
Okay, Steph has that. Steph has someone who is better than him. that won those rings.
And he went to two straight finals MVP. He went to two straight finals.
That has to be held against you.
And beat the same dude that joined him before he even got there.
That has to be held against you. If I'm going to say this guy is better than this guy.
You cannot be 3-1 up on me. I win three straight games to beat you. I averaged 30. You averaged maybe 21 on like 39% shooting. I averaged 30 points and on whatever, I think like 48%, some shit like that. Like on that type of shooting, I beat you to go to the finals. I lose the finals by 4 points in a game seven that not even LeBron made the shot. Kyrie made the shot to beat me. And because of that, you joined my team, but it kills my legacy because you drove the bus. I literally let you drive my fucking Ferrari to win. And then I win the year you leave, right?
Right.
I win this, and I averaged 30 on the same team that swept you, and it's still held against me? Nah, bro. I can't let that shit happen.
Yes,
like,
it is.
How is it still held against me?
Because, again, it's not held against you if you're debating against him versus Kevin Durant. Obviously not. It's held against KD. Right. But if I'm going to say now, that same guy who you just made that whole soliloquy about
is
better than Larry Bird and Hakeem Olajuwon and those guys, those guys on those teams, they were always regarded the best player on that team. They never took a backseat to anybody. So let me tell you this, right? So let's say hypothetically, Dwayne Wade had 5 rings, right? But LeBron won all those finals MVPs for them. Could I say to you that Dwayne Wade is a better player than Steph Curry? You wouldn't allow that.
So
that would be ridiculous,
so
right?
Finals MVP is that important. Because by the way,
brother,
if you're
the most valuable player at the highest level of basketball, I would think that is a very important thing.
Bro, you're very high basketball IQ. You, of all people, know he deserves at least 2 finals MVPs.
So what are we talking about here? I agree with that.
He has the same amount as Larry Bird then. And if you play with KD, you average a point less than KD. By the way, he had the most threes in that playoff, the 2018 playoffs that we won.
Yes.
He had the most threes in that playoffs. I think he had like a 40-point game one or something. All I'm saying is fine. If you want to say... Because, again, in my eyes, he wasn't the best player on the team, but whatever. If you want to say KD was the best player on those Warriors teams, fine.
That's what I said. It was a fact. He was the best. Stop. He was the best player on those teams. Can we stop?
Was he
the most important player? No. But he was the best player. He was a better player than Steph.
It's pointless to debate it if you literally cannot double team anybody on the team. So who gives a shit who was the better player? If
you're saying that guy who's not being double teamed is better than Larry Bird, who's double teamed all the time.
Man, he wasn't. Pull up that tape, Jay. Because Kevin McHale,
your level of love for Steph is clouding your judgment.
I didn't say he wasn't double-teamed.
Larry Bird was double-teamed, bro.
But all I'm saying is Robert Parrish was that nigga. Kevin McHale was that nigga. Danny Ainge was that nigga. Dennis Johnson was that nigga. We're not gonna act like he played with bums.
KD was that nigga. Klay Thompson was that nigga. Draymond was that nigga. No one's saying you cannot have good players on your team.
Man.
Every championship... spoiler alert, everybody. Every championship, there were good players on that team.
Absolutely.
There weren't trash players and one guy doing stuff.
Bird ain't never won with a nigga who averaged 6 points in the fucking finals. That's all I'm going to say. And never even let it go to game seven.
He also wasn't playing with guys who was averaging 25. He was a clear-cut best player on that team.
Man,
he was a clear-cut guy like, yo, listen, bro.
Kevin McHale was cooking in those playoffs.
He was. So was Klay.
So was KD.
Not to the effect that Kevin McHale was. Klay was nowhere near as good as Kevin McHale.
Are you kidding me?
Who?
Kevin McHale. Klay was nowhere near as good as Kevin McHale.
So who's the level of player who's better than Kevin Durant? Let's even say Steph is the best player. Who's the level of player on the Celtics that's better than Kevin Durant?
Nobody.
There's people out here who will say Kevin Durant is better than Larry Bird.
Yeah.
There's people out here saying that.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that doesn't knock Steph at all.
No, it's
so
not.
So then if LeBron played with KD, it wouldn't hurt his legacy at all.
If Steph had 3, it would knock it, yes. But if you had 2 rings, I went to 3 finals without the dude you're talking about,
Jay,
I don't want to hear about it.
Jay, let me ask you this.
What's up?
Because there's rumors now that Kevin Durant may be going to Portland.
Right.
So let's say Kevin Durant goes to Portland with Dame and they win the next 5 rings. Are you now going to say Damian Lillard is better than Steph? Let's say Steph never wins another ring. Are you going to say that he's better than Steph?
No.
You're not going to say that, right? Because that would be ridiculous.
It depends.
That's my
point. It depends.
No, if KD wins all 5 finals MVP. And Dame is great. Okay. He's just second fiddle.
Okay.
You're telling me you're going to say he's better than Steph Curry. You're not going to say that.
Yeah, of course I would.
You would say because he won five with Kevin Durant.
Sorry. I'm saying of course I wouldn't say Dame is better. Why? Because what did Dame...
No, wait.
Why? Because I would say, what did Dame do before KD? Nothing, right? You lost to Steph Curry over and over and over again until you got KD. That's why I would say it. But if Dame went to two finals without KD, he was a unanimous MVP without KD, he has the greatest regular season record of all time without KD, he's the only player to average 30 on 50, 40, 90 without KD, I'll be like... I'll have an argument with you. I'll be like, man, look, man, I understand how you got there.
You're making the argument as to why Steph Curry is top 10, not why he's above Larry Bird.
That's why he's top 10. And again, like I said, Steph by himself changed the game of basketball. Bird with Magic changed the game of basketball. So people forget that too.
By the way,
if you follow Bird's story, Bird didn't really do shit to change the league. All he did was just play basketball really good. Magic changed the league.
Oh, that's my God. How dare Larry Bird just be really good at basketball? I'm sorry. That's what I want my guy to do. My nigga, you don't always have to change the game. How about you just dominate when you're out there? How about you just put fear in opposing coaches and opposing players when you lace your boots up?
To the point where you have to double team me and KD wide open. Yes, I did that.
Bro, Michael Jordan did not change the game the way Steph did as far as how people copied his game. But guess what?
Yes, he did.
No, he did not. How?
LeBron wears 23. Are you kidding me?
That's changing the game.
Yes.
Having fans. Yes. What are you talking about?
That's having fans. Kobe Bryant, his whole career is based off how Michael Jordan played basketball. That's changing the game? Yes.
That's not changing the game.
Jason Tatum follows Kobe. But Devin Booker follows Kobe. Every guard you've ever heard of has followed Kobe. Who does Kobe follow?
That's called being influential. That's not changing the way the structure of basketball is played.
That's influence.
You just said the reason the Celtics made it to the finals is because of the way they play. That has nothing to do with... The Celtics are not doing that because they're fans of Steph Curry. They're doing it because they saw it was an effective way to play basketball. Anyway, if everyone could be Michael Jordan, they would just be Michael Jordan.
Anyway, you have my argument, so go ahead.
I'm not helping your argument.
You are. You just said that Steph changed the game better than the greatest player of all time.
Yes. Are you now going to sit here and say Steph Curry is better than Michael Jordan?
No, because he doesn't. Okay, so that argument, Michael Jordan.
That argument makes no sense. Just because you changed the way basketball is played does not matter. Will Chamberlain changed the way basketball was played he was so dominant with the way he scored. They implemented goaltending. They implemented the 3 seconds. They implemented many things to change the way of basketball. But where is he on your list? Nowhere. Where is he on my list? He ain't on there. Out of respect.
He ain't on there.
Let's not be like, yo, and just because he changed the game, then now all of a sudden he's the greatest player. Stop. Listen. Yes. There's a lot of things that go into it.
How easy is basketball if you can goaltend? Are you kidding me? How easy is basketball? All I have to do is throw it up there.
But you realize George Mikan, all these other players were playing before Will.
Yes, and that's why
they never even consider, hey, you know what? Goaltending's not fair. But once you had a dominant basketball player, they're like, you know what? Yeah. This shit is way too easy for this guy. Let's give all these other white guys a shot and let's change the rules. Yeah. So listen, bro. They thought the way Steph Curry and the Warriors played, they thought that was not winning basketball.
Yes.
And I can even argue the Suns changed the way basketball played because they were the first jump shooting team that could be successful in the playoffs, but they never won anything. The second the Warriors won, then they changed the game of basketball. So I give a lot of credit to that to Steph, but again, that's changing the game of basketball. Michael Jordan, when he came out, they never been like, this Michael Jordan guy is great. We should just find another Michael Jordan. Guess what? It didn't happen. So there's fans of Michael Jordan. There's fans of Kobe, but it cannot, they're not, coaches are not changing the way they play as a result of that. It's not happening.
Okay.
But fine, whatever. Let's move on because I feel like we've been going on for like 30 minutes of this.
Right.
Again, I love Steph. For the Steph Curry fans, for the Warriors fans, I love Steph. I'm just saying the brother's paint is not dry yet. And if y'all think I'm just going to, because of one finals run, him being dominant in the finals, that equates to what Larry Bird did in the finals three times, that equates to what Larry Bird did in his seasons three straight years, being the best player, being the MVP.
Curry never I'm had 8 points in the finals it. Game twice. Just, I'm just going to say that. Larry Bird.
Who had that?
Larry Bird.
Who had that?
Twice. He had 8 points in the finals.
Don't you tell
game.
That the lie
same,
out here.
The same shit we killed LeBron for in 2011. Larry Bird had 8 points in the finals game twice and didn't even win finals MVP one of those rings. But
let's go.
I brought receipts. I brought receipts.
Man, fuck all that. Bird's eight anyway. That's why. That's the difference with him being top five and eight. Whatever. Shit. All right, what else I had on my list? Okay, I had at seven, I had Shaquille O'Neal, Tim Duncan. Okay, so this one I thought was interesting. I think you have it set up the same way, I think, right? Where Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Shaquille O'Neal are all bunched up together, right?
Yeah.
So I think at the end of it all, we all put Kobe above those two, right?
Correct. Yeah, okay. I put Kobe above Duncan and LeBron.
So what made you come to that decision?
So what made me come to that decision was because I take a really serious like loyalty to a situation, right? But my thing is like, how much can you influence and impact a game, right? So my thing was why Kobe was higher, because again, what people forget, and I love Shaq. Shaq is amazing. He was had like 36 or whatever. He was amazing those three straight runs. He won three straight finals MVPs. He deserved all three of them, no question, right? But at the same time, people forget Shaq was a liability at the end of the games because he could not make those free throws. And Kobe would have to close a lot of those games out. In those playoffs in the West, when he'd had to play those guys, he'd have to go against a lot of best guards or whatever. I love Shaq. The competition wasn't always there when he was the best, right? Right? So 99, right? Like, because when you were playing the guys who were in your tier, to your point, you were losing to Hakeem. You were losing to Patrick Ewing was that nigga or whatever, this and that, right? Shaq was still amazing. He was still, like, in my eyes, like, other than Hakeem, he was number two in that era, my eyes, right? So he was still amazing. Shaq was still doing his shit. He was still great. But like I said, Lakers, y'all, when 98 Lakers, when y'all were going against the Jazz, you were losing to the Jazz. In my opinion, you're better than John Stockton. In my opinion, you're better than Karl Malone. You didn't beat them. When you went against the Rockets, it was really, and like I said, this is a huge reason why Hakeem is even in this discussion in the first place. The Rockets had no business even going that far with that
team.
They
didn't.
Like, they had no reason going that far, right? That, you know, like, Shaq had Penny, and he was going against Hakeem by himself, and Hakeem swept him, cleaned him up. So, it wasn't until you got Kobe, who, on this list, is a top five guy, when he finally...
Keep in mind, I will say, I know I was giving Hakeem a lot of love for being the best defensive player ever. That same best defensive player ever, Shaq gave Hakeem 31-15 on 60% shooting.
He did. Absolutely.
Just want to say that.
Absolutely.
Just to get some flowers.
Absolutely, Don't get it twisted. Shaq was still amazing.
Yeah.
Those finals. He lost, but he was still amazing.
But he was still amazing. He wasn't the reason why they lost.
Right. But even Shaq will tell you himself. He said he didn't get his team ready enough to play in those finals. He said he blamed himself for losing those finals. So as you see, that played a part later in his career where... In my eyes, you and Kobe should have won like seven or like eight, some shit like that.
I agree.
Because if you worked on your body the same way Kobe did, right? So that is a knock on you. But
That's not to interject, but chime in on that as well, too.
Right, right.
That's my biggest thing with Shaq, where I feel like even though he got four rings, I feel like he's still kind of underachieved. That's the thing with Shaq. No one's a bigger Shaq fan than me. I love Shaq. I swore by Shaq. If it wasn't for, you know, the guys who were on that, Shaq was in my top five for many years.
Mm-hmm,
I love Shaq. Yeah. To me, he was like, in his era, he was one of the best players to ever play. Especially in those Lakers years, those three-peat Lakers, he was the best player on the planet. And if anybody wants to look at his 0-1 Lakers run, there was nobody more dominant than Shaq. Shaq was insane, like especially in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking about easy, in his sleep. His worst year, I think, was his worst year in the playoffs in that Lakers run was the 2000 Lakers, and he averaged 32 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists on 60% shooting. That was his worst statistical playoffs. Just want to put that. In right. that 0-1 year, he was averaging, I believe, 37, like 16, like an insane amount. So I love Shaq. Right. The issue with Shaq was, again, just like you brought in, was his weight. If Shaq just stayed in shape and had the work ethic that Kobe had, Shaq might be sitting at number one.
Exactly.
But because of how he approached the game, as far as like maintaining his body and working on, you saw how it impacted him later in his career. Exactly. Is why he's only sitting at four. And people like Tim Duncan, who did take care of his body, Kobe Bryant, who did take care of his body, why they have more rings than him. And so That was part of the reason why I put that into. But as far as peaks, he had a higher peak than both of them, in my opinion.
Think both Kobe,
Tim Duncan, and Kobe.
Oh, absolutely.
Shaq at his best, absolutely, was better than anybody breathing.
Absolutely.
You can. The only argument is like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Michael Jordan.
But as far as those,
out of the three, he's probably. Obviously, I mean, he's already the most dominant, but he, if I was to pick any of those three, I'm picking Shaq out of the three. But again, that's not the only criteria. We're talking resume, what you did, and those two guys, they were just more impressive. Longevity matters.
Yeah, longevity matters. Yeah, so that was my biggest thing. And then Kobe, man, like I said, he won three with Shaq. He was the best guard in the league. It wasn't even close. He was the best defensive guard in the league. Also, wasn't even close. He has nine. He has nine all defensive teams. He has one. Only thing, he has one MVP. That's the only thing. So that's one thing I'll
which give you should have more, but
you wish you should have more. So, but again, my biggest thing is one, Kobe's influence on a game is unmatched. People still to this day talk about his impact. He has five rings. He was like, I believe, top five on the scoring list. And by the way, his first 2 years, like a couple years in the league, he was benched. So imagine if he played all those years and was able to do more. He might be number two, might be number one on this list.
Right.
So he has the second highest points in a game ever, and like I said, so that's just my huge thing, and my biggest thing, and why, again, people are gonna kill me for it, but whatever. Why he's above LeBron for me? He never ever ran from the grind ever. He never did. He never did. When the Lakers were great, he was there. When the Lakers weren't, Lakers were ass, he was there. When the Lakers were needed to get better and get better,
just to throw in, there was a period. I don't know if you remember. You might have been too young. There was a period when the Lakers sucked that he did ask for a trade.
He did run out,
but then he ended up staying, and then they got Pau Gasol. So the rest is history. But,
right.
Yeah, he stayed on one team and he rolled it out with them.
Like I said, he could have even more rings, even with the Shaq years or whatever. He could have even more rings if the league didn't veto the Chris Paul trade. So that's another thing. So, but like I said, when it came to Kobe having super teams, they were like, nah, that's too unfair. But when it came to LeBron having super teams, he could have every single super team in history he wanted. So if Kobe played with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, he's winning all those rings. He's not losing in 2011.
That is a fact.
If he plays with Kyrie and Kevin Love, same thing happens. If he plays with Anthony Davis, same thing happens. So
that is a fact. So I agree with that.
Right.
Now for me, I don't really have any I don't have an issue with what you said. I still would put LeBron over Kobe.
Yeah.
Just again, regular season reasons, not necessarily playoff. Well, even playoff reasons, to be honest, just statistically wise, but. Yeah. I don't have an issue. I can see both sides. So I don't have any issue with anybody who puts Kobe above LeBron. Full disclosure, I'm not really a LeBron fan. This is me just being objective. Just being honest. So I really could care less either way. The only thing I want to say too is like for Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan and Kobe was very hard for me. There were times I had Tim Duncan above Kobe and then vice versa too. Because I don't think people, because of his games not sexy to watch, and because he was never really an outspoken guy, not a flashy guy, and I'll even tell you, like, he was one of the players I hated watching. I hate watching the Spurs. That was just the epitome of just boring basketball. But now as I've gotten older and looking back on it, I was very impressed with just how much of a winning culture they had and just how amazing he sustained his, like, his impact. And so for Tim Duncan, like, just like you said, Kobe rode it out in the bad years, the years where they missed the playoffs, the years when they lost in the first round, like stuff like that. Tim Duncan never missed the playoffs.
Ever.
Ever. From the second he stepped on the court to the day he retired, he was always in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Before, with Tim Duncan, Popovich had that same, he had that same record too, where mm-hmm. once he started coaching the Spurs with Tim Duncan, he never missed the playoffs. The second Tim Duncan left, even though he had Kawhi, he was making, now he's missing the playoffs on a regular basis. So to me, that's very impressive to me. And obviously he has 5 rings and just how he was able to reinvent himself. Mm-hmm. I say Hakeem Olajuwon is the best defensive player ever. Tim Duncan is at least in top 5. Mm-hmm. He was an amazing defender. He's obviously the greatest power forward of all time. It's not even a debate mm-hmm. who's like next to him. Like any Karl Malone fans, I don't know what to tell you. Kevin Garnett fans, I don't know what to tell you. But Tim Duncan was that dude. And so
Giannis is the only one coming close right now.
Giannis is the only one coming close. And so we're talking, I mean, two MVPs to Kobe's one. He has the same amount of rings. The only thing I'll say that's different is the finals MVPs. I don't remember. I think Tim Duncan has 2, I want to say.
Yeah.
But I think Tony Parker has a couple, and like other players have a couple. He's either 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. So, but Tim Duncan, like, is such a dominant player. So, at times, like, they're really tied for me, Kobe and Tim Duncan. Mm-hmm. But Kobe, to me, again, just what he meant to the game, his sustained dominance, and just what he gave back to the game, and just, I mean, you're talking about somebody who was so influential, arguably more influential than Jordan. Mm. Where people, you know, you got people, players saying now the whole job's not finished thing. Mm-hmm. When they shoot a ball into a trash can, they say Kobe. Mm-hmm. They don't say Curry. They don't say Jordan. They say Kobe. So Kobe, to me, I just think, well, in his era, when you look back on that era, Kobe is the most memorable of that era and just how he dominated basketball and for how long he did it as well. Like, Tim Duncan was great for many years, but you saw in some of those Spurs championships, he wasn't regarded as the best player. It was Tony Parker. Mm-hmm. But he was a very important player, but he at times he was also a role player too as well. Mm-hmm. So for that, Kobe was always the guy. It was always Kobe other than Shaq, whatever I'm saying. But I'm saying that second half of his career after Shaq, Kobe was amazing, and he should get flowers for that. So that's why I had him at that. I think, what else did you have on your list? Okay, so I think you had Magic at 3, right?
3, yeah.
And, okay, let's talk LeBron. Because right. You had him outside the top 5, and you did a little LeBron slander already. Again, full disclosure, not a big LeBron fan either. So, actually, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get into the LeBron talk. I know we've been talking for a while. All right, and we're back doing the LeBron talk. So, again, I'm sure if you guys listening, if you're still here, you know, got a little heated on the Steph Curry talk. I think this LeBron talk, I don't think it's going to be as heated because, again, we're both not biggest fans of LeBron, but I'll try to be the pillar of objectivity. And Jay, I'm sure, is because he's a Warriors fan and a Steph fan, for some reason, in order to be a Curry fan, you have to be anti-LeBron and vice versa. If you're a LeBron fan, you got to be anti-Curry. So I don't love LeBron, but I do love Curry. But again, I can be objective on this. So going into it, you had LeBron at number 6. And I just wanted you to go into a why. Like, what are your reasons? One, what are your reasons why you had him at 6, like higher above the other guys on the list, mm-hmm. and why you didn't have him in the top 5. So first, why you had him at 6?
So I have him at 6 because, like I said, LeBron's again. He has all the stats. You know, he has all the stats, all that stuff, or whatever. He's 6'9", 260, probably arguably the greatest driver of the basketball to ever play the game. In my eyes, it's Giannis, but that's close, whatever. It's a right. toss-up, right? Reason why he's above Bird for me, why he's above... Again, a huge thing, if you've seen on my list, is winning. I love winners, which is crazy because I have Bill Russell at 7. Reason why I have Bill Russell right. at 7 is because the competition he played in just wasn't as good as the competition as the people who are around him.
Right.
And also, he played with, 4 or, like, I believe 5 Hall of Famers. He also wasn't always like the highest scoring guy, but he just did everything else. He's the ultimate. I wouldn't even say that. That's a little bit of a disrespect.
I like to coin Bill Russell. Like, the reason why I say for Tim Duncan, I know I didn't really get to say it, but I say Tim Duncan is the Bill Russell of his era. And that's how I look at Bill Russell. Bill Russell was like Tim. He was a Tim Duncan in his era.
Right.
Like, just, exactly. He was just an ultimate winner. He just knew how to win basketball. He knew what it took in order to win a championship.
Yeah.
And that's why who he is.
Yeah, that just the era he played in just wasn't that good.
Right.
Again, there was only 8 teams in the league when he played. Like, there wasn't that many teams. From what I'm hearing, you only really had to win like 2 rounds and then you were in the playoffs or you were in the finals.
So. Yeah, it was only like 3 game series or whatever, and then a couple rounds, and then boom, you were there. So.
Yeah, Celtics just had an unfair monopoly on the league at that point. Like, they just had all the fucking guys. Like, could you imagine if one team was the KD Warriors and the rest of the league was like the Orlando Magic? Like, it wouldn't be the same, you know? So,
whatever. The playing level is just different.
Just different, right? You could kind of even shoot Wilton Bail for that, too, because he went to, I believe he went to 3 finals. And he won,
I believe so, yeah,
something like that. And he won 2, or whatever. My big knock on Wilt was that Wilt wasn't always a winning player. He was the best. He, when it comes to stat wise, he was the best. He understood, how to get his. Like the year he averaged like 50 or whatever, they didn't go to the finals. They didn't go to any of that those years. The years he won is when he sacrificed scoring in order and did other things. Now, I believe when he won, he averaged like 22 rebounds or 23 rebounds, something like that, and he led the series in assists. When Wilt would win was when he would pass the ball and share the ball around with his other teammates, and that's winning basketball. So I put the people above him who understood that throughout their entire career, not just the years that they won. So that was why I put them there. But LeBron, right? A big thing with LeBron was LeBron had to have a perfect situation every single time he won. The guys who are above him, they never had those perfect situations. The only time, the biggest year you want to say that, he went against the odds, he had the hardest championship ever, he literally did something that was unprecedented in history. And yes, motherfuckers, I'm talking about 2016. He literally had, instead of just having a tech, they upgraded it to a flagrant after he lobbied to the league about what Draymond did, even though he instigated what happened in the first place. Mind you, 2016, I'll still give it to y'all, whatever. But you're doing unprecedented shit in order to win a ring, where Magic never had to do that. Jordan never had to do that. Kareem never had to do that. Magic never had to do that. Duncan and Kobe never had to do that. They just beat who was in front of them. It is what it was. When you were all those years you were with the Cavs, you were in the league. From 2003 all the way until 2010, you didn't win nothing. You went to the finals. You went to the finals, but when you did, you were beating some teams that weren't even that good. You could look at the records of those teams that he was beating; they were not that good.
The Pistons were good.
Pistons were what? 40? You can look up their record. I think they were like 42 or some shit like that. They weren't that good. But LeBron was amazing. He was he was great in that finals or whatever. But you can tell me the field goal percentage that he averaged in those finals, it was like 37%, right?
That's as far as,
right. So, and in my experience in following basketball, it's a lot easier to score a lot of points if you shoot a lot of shots. And LeBron was a volume shooter in those years, and that's a point. Now, he had to be because he was the best player, so I get it. But all I'm saying is, it's not as impressive of averaging anyway, I don't want to take anything away from him. He went to those finals. He was amazing or whatever. But he did get swept in those finals. He didn't go back to a finals until 2011. And then he had enough. He was the favorite in those finals. He scored 8 points in a finals game in those finals. And you can say he choked away those finals. I don't know if people know this. Jason Terry outscored him in those finals. Is Jason Terry anywhere on this list? No, he's not. So, that goes against him. So he but whatever. He retools or whatever. In 2012, he comes back, wins. And in 2013, he wins. Wade averaged 25 in the finals in that 2011 that he lost. If he won, he knows if they, I'm not saying he threw it or anything like that, but he knows if they won, Wade would have won finals MVP. So that would have went against him. But because whenever you won, that's when you delivered. or whenever you did win, or whenever you didn't choke, after how many years of you doing all that for years? So it took you from 2003 to 2012. It took you 9 years to win your first championship, right? Which is, there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of the greats take their a long time to win a championship, but you were in a really good situation. Wade is on the top 75 team. Arguably, you can say Chris Bosh should be on the top 75 team. Kyrie, arguably, you could say, should be on the top 75 team. Kevin Love was really good. I don't say he was top 75, but he's really good. He was a very good rebounder, all that stuff. Tristan Thompson was an amazing rebounder. Like, all I'm saying is Bron fans or people who put him that high, they want to act like he wasn't on good teams. He was on a really good team. He just took him to another level because they had LeBron James. But because of that, it's like, don't act like you were on a team where you had a 17th ranked offense in the finals. Don't act like you were on a team where you had a dude that averaged 6 points in a finals game. I'm talking about Curry. Like, but this is a guy who's not even in your level. This is a dude who's beat you multiple times in your era. Jordan, Magic, all these dudes who people we say you were against, nobody ate in their eras. Magic, multiple times in their era. Like, you can say that, right? Say what you want about Bird and Magic, the whole 80s shit. The Bird and Magic. Magic has more rings than Bird. He beat him head-to-head and all that shit than Bird. Jordan won six, never lost in the finals. Never even went to a game six in the finals. Game seven in the finals. Was clearly the best player in the planet for a decade. LeBron was that too. I'll give him that. But you could argue that for Duncan. You can argue that for Magic. You can argue that for Kobe. You can argue that for Kareem. You could argue that for Jordan. That's why those dudes are above him. They never ran from the grind. Those dudes won more than you did. Those dudes didn't lose more than you did. Because, by the way, he lost more finals than anybody on this list. You can say, okay, he went to 10 finals or whatever and this and that. But you can look at the East in those years. They were not that good. Whenever you got to the West and then you had to play who was the best in the West, you lost. Every single time you were even in a position to win, you had to either trade your half your team to get somebody, Anthony Davis, or you had to trade, or you had to have a perfect situation or have perfect players on your team. When other dudes who won without that, multiple rings without that, they never did that. By the way, you also had the media herald you as the next this or whatever when you hadn't even won shit yet. They made a whole bunch of excuses around whatever you did to do all that. So that's in my list. Mind you, this is my list. As far as the official top 10 list, you want to put LeBron top 2, 3 or whatever, that's fine. That's cool. That like I said, when he said number 2, I didn't argue that much. It is what it is. He's probably going to have the most stats in history. He's probably going to be the most player with points, rebounds, or whatever. And he's the best all-around player you have ever seen in history. I'll give you that. But because you didn't have the same mentality as the people who are above you, you are not up there. Because if you had the same mentality as Magic, if you had the same mentality as Jordan, if you had the same mentality as Kobe, all these dudes, you would have 7 rings and wouldn't even be a question if you were to go. But because you lost 6 finals, because you lost as much as you've lost, because you've underachieved as much as you have in your career, you're number 6. Sorry.
I know a lot of LeBron fans are like fuming right now. They probably cut this off.
I hope
maybe
you are.
Halfway.
I hope you are.
All right, I'm gonna play devil's advocate or LeBron's advocate for this, right?
Sure.
Because I feel like that was a lot. And again, while I agree with some of the things you said, I also feel like some of the things you said were unfair to LeBron.
Sure.
And so, one, where you said that LeBron is like the only player, I'm paraphrasing, pretty much said that like other guys on this list, they won and they weren't in a perfect situation. I disagree.
Okay.
LeBron is not the only player who had like a perfect situation to win a ring. Again, I told you.
No, I said every single team he played on was a perfect situation. That's what I'm saying.
Was a perfect situation?
Yeah,
I disagree.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Like the way you were, what you said about him not playing that great against the Spurs, that was not a perfect situation. If anything, he overachieved with that roster. His second best player was the Jonas Ilgauskas and Daniel Gibson. Like those were his players. So if we're going off of like the other players on this list, right? Like Michael Jordan, he had Scottie Pippen out there. He had Dennis Rodman out there. He even had like, you know, Ron Harper was a great basketball player as well. And same thing with Larry Bird. You were just killing Larry Bird for having Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, Dennis Johnson, and those players. So those were perfect situations for them. I love Kobe more than anybody, but Kobe's not going to be in the finals if he had to play with Jonas Ilgauskas and Daniel Gibson. But he had Pau Gasol, Andrew Bynum, and Lamar Odom as well, too. So I'm not going to hold that against LeBron. You need good players in order to go deep in the playoffs. LeBron, I will also say, is he's done a lot more. In his first 10 years in the league, he's done a lot more with less. I would say prior now, the second half of his career, what he's doing, yes, he needs to have a good situation in order to be successful now, because his abilities just cannot make up for some of the weaknesses maybe a roster might have. But in the beginning, you could just put people out there who can make an open jump shot, and he will lead you to the promised land. There were many years after, once he finally got over the hump and made it to the finals or whatever, there were many years where they had the best record in the East, where they were winning 60-plus games and whatever, and Mo Williams was his best player, was his second-best player, where he had players out there like Matthew Dellavedova. Like, he had, like, he's drug players out there. So that's why I think now the issue where probably you have now is because after he's gotten old, people still think he can do that. And that's not the case. But he has done that in the past, where whatever abilities that his teammates may lack, he can make up for that. And maybe Mo Williams ain't that great of a defender. That's fine. LeBron can make up with it off his weak side defense and things of that nature to make up of some of the weaknesses his teammates have. So I do give him credit for that. Just like you said, statistics, accolades. I understand that he only has 4 rings and he's lost 6 in the NBA Finals. And yes, granted, people want to say the Eastern Conference was weak and whatnot and what have you. But still, going to 10 finals, being a 10-time finalist, is still very impressive. Like, a lot of, to me, if we're doing like an all-time list of 50 players, I guarantee you getting to the finals is going to be a positive on your resume than a negative. So I'm still going to give him credit to that. Now, if we're comparing it to, again, people who we put above him on the list, then yeah, that can be called into question. But still, okay, they may have that on him, but he has other things that he has on them as well, too. So let's get into them. I know a lot of people now want to downplay regular season, but for me, I'm one of those people where regular season does matter. And LeBron James is the youngest player to score 1,000 points, 2,000 points, 3,000 points, 4,000 points, 5,000 points. Let me just skip from 5,000 to 10,000 points, 11,000 points, 12,000 points, 13,000 points, 14,000 points. You see where we're going, right? You see where we're going. He's been the youngest to do what he's done, and it's not even close. It's laughable at the fact that where he's sitting at right now, I think, is 35,000 points, and he's the youngest to ever do it. And he's done some of these things to the point that we're numb to it. But when he finally retires and we look back at some of these accolades, we're going to be like, holy shit, he really does have that. As it stands right now, I know in the regular season he hasn't eclipsed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But if you combine his playoff points to his regular season points, he has the most combined points ever of any player who has ever stepped on the basketball court. And I know we want to act like that's not, because our expectations for LeBron are so high that we don't even give him credit for some of the insane things that he's accomplished. The idea that he's going to surpass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when Michael Jordan existed, Larry Bird existed, Magic Johnson existed, Tracy McGrady, Vince Carter, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, all these people who are amazing scorers, they've all come out here and none of them have even come close. The closest who's been to that is Karl Malone, and it's more so because he did score a lot of points, yes, and he also had John Stockton, but he did score a lot of points, but it's also because of longevity and just being healthy. And so the fact that LeBron is actually on pace to surpass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar maybe this year, in this next coming season, and then he might be on pace to be the first player to have 40,000 points, 10,000 rebounds, 10,000 assists. That's something that we can't just poo-poo and act like, ah, yeah, but whatever. Like, these are Wilt Chamberlain numbers. These are crazy, insane, unimaginable numbers that when we look back on it, they will not be touched again. And he's still doing it. His paint is still not dry. That being said, this is just regular season stuff. Now, all NBA first teams, let's say 90% of his career, he's been the number one at his position. Let's just talk about that. I believe he has, 13, 14 all NBA first teams? Just to put it in perspective, I think the second one who has the second most is maybe either Jordan or Kobe. I think they have 12.
LeBron would also win it on years he would lose, by the way, also.
That is true.
That's why I say that media machine.
That is true. But it's not only the media machine, it is the fact that he is the best player on the planet in that era. He did do that. So we have to give him credit for that. He did in playoff moments. Granted, we could talk about the 2011 finals, which is very true. But then let's also talk about what he did after those finals. He actually went on one of the greatest playoff runs from that 2012 year on, where he just dominated in the playoffs. In 2018, LeBron is one of the most impressive runs in the playoffs, getting to the finals period and then having a 51-8-8 until against that same dominant 15-1 Warrior squad. You got to give him credit for that. So all that being said, while there are players who have more rings than him, like Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan and whatnot, I put LeBron above Magic just because of the regular season accolades, because of, again, some of his physical abilities that he is better than Magic on, and just his sustained prime. I don't think we'll ever see somebody who's been in their prime as long as LeBron. Jay, as we speak, was killing LeBron for making trades for Anthony Davis. The only reason why this sounds even logical is because it's LeBron James. Anybody else who was asking for Anthony Davis when he was in year 17, they would be like, obviously, you shouldn't even be a starter in year 17. Everybody, with an exception to Carmelo Anthony, from his NBA draft, isn't even playing anymore. Luke Walton was in his NBA draft. He's a coach now. Dwayne Wade has retired. Chris Bosh is not playing in the league anymore. Kirk Heinrich has been gone. There's players who, because of what he's doing, again, we take it for granted. And I'm not even a LeBron James fan. I agree with some of the things. The media makes you hate LeBron more than you like LeBron. But then as a result of that, a result of the media overrating him, we tend to now underrate him too. When, if you average out both things, he's kind of where he's supposed to be. And where I put him is the second greatest player of all time. And the reason why I say that, because in his era, the modern day era, from when LeBron James played, he was unequivocally dominated the league, whether it's regular season, playoffs, whatever, and what have you. So Jordan was who he was in his era. LeBron is who he was in that era. And everybody else pretty much just conceded to those two in their era as well. So that's where I have him there. I agree with what some of the things Jay said. Again, I think it was a little unfair, but I think LeBron James is better than you think he is, and also LeBron James is worse than you think he is too. It's kind of a weird thing. I don't think he's the greatest of all time, but I damn sure don't think he's the sixth greatest of all time.
It's just my thing is the whole, because what was the big thing you were saying about Steph? Oh, he played with KD and da da da. You think that even happens if LeBron doesn't go to Miami? It doesn't.
That's a fact.
You changed the league for the worse. And that's a fact. That is a fact. The whole reason KD is asking for a trade right now is because of you. The whole reason that the Paul George trade happened, that Jimmy Butler when they were on the Timberwolves, the whole super team era, that's all because of you. That's a fact. Yeah. That's all because of you. You've never won without a super team. That's a fact.
But again, these are things that are outside of actual what you did on the basketball court. So that's why I'm I'm not going to hold that against him. Because then what did he do when he was on the basketball court? Okay, he won 4 finals MVPs. So granted, not to knock Steph, because you already can see that LeBron is better than Steph. But I'm just saying, 4 finals MVPs to 1 MVP? I mean, what are we talking about? Four MVPs to two MVPs, whether one was unanimous, and LeBron should have unanimous if there wasn't one guy who decided to vote for Carmelo Anthony that year. Only reason why LeBron James is not a unanimous MVP. One Knicks fan vote, yes, I think it was either the Knicks, I think it was a 2013 one. It's because one Knicks fan, because Carmelo was having a good year, but that one Knicks fan decided, you know what? Fuck LeBron, I'm going to vote for Carmelo anyway. And that's the only reason why he's not a unanimous. And
my biggest thing with LeBron is just like the things y'all kill other greats for, you do not kill LeBron for. Fuck did you win an MVP if you're playing with Dwayne Wade? Explain that to me. But because that didn't matter.
He had one of the greatest statistical seasons. I mean, it is what it is. I mean,
and that's my point. But when one dude takes a back seat to you, he kills his legacy. But instead, you just decided to take his team and uplift your legacy. Man. And as soon as he can't uplift your legacy anymore, you tell the Cavs to trade their number one pick and get Kevin Love to go to Kyrie, to go straight to the Cleveland and go straight back to the finals again. So every team you leave,
when you say it like that, he made the right choice then. I mean. See what he did? That was wrong. I mean, a basketball fan, I understand. But
like I said, this is my list. If you want to put a number two, number three, I get it. Another but you are not going to be above people who never ran from the grind and whose legacies were set in stone and literally made the legacies of their team.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
That's what makes
you're not going to tell me Dwight Howard was better than you in 2009. He wasn't, but you lost. You're not gonna tell me that Tim Duncan's team was that much better than yours in 2007. Like, but it is what it is.
They were though, but they were.
They just played better. They just played better.
Why don't you know, Tony Parker and Tim Duncan are like they're considered Hall of Famers. I mean,
I guess. But,
I mean, like so.
Anyway, what fine I'll give you 2007. Okay. But like I said,
2016. 2011. You should have 2016. Yeah, listen, yeah, 2016. Because I know you were shitting on. Yes, Draymond got suspended. Cool, whatever. But again, if we're talking about you have a top 10 player all time on that team, I don't want to hear about Draymond Green and I don't want to hear about Andrew Bogut. So you're a top 10 player all time in Steph Curry. You still have Klay Thompson. You still have Andre Iguodala still out there. You still have your roster. You just don't have Draymond out there. Fine. Okay. Maybe that's why you lose game 5. Cool. Right? But then you still have game 6.
Curry had 30 in game 6 and fouled out.
And LeBron had 41.
And who else had 41?
And LeBron in game 5 had 40. And in game 7, he had a triple-double. So while was the suspension bullshit, whatever, upgrade, a flagrant, cool. But guess what? These are extracurricular things that have nothing to do with what you did on the basketball court. And when he was on that basketball court, he outplayed Steph Curry, Klay Thompson.
So you get the cheat behind the scenes, but as soon as you're on the basketball court, if you play well, it's fine.
But the Warriors had three opportunities to close out the series, and LeBron
In 2017, I don't want to hear we had a super team then. But I don't want to hear we had Kevin a super Durant. Team. Because Steph, apparently, when I was here in those years, Steph was just as good as Kyrie. When I was here in those years, KD was just
as
good
as with that? Hold on. Let's not ask what Steph was. Do you agree with that?
Why would you ask me who has Steph Curry?
Let's not downplay Steph and to make your argument. Like, you already acknowledged we're arguing why Steph is top 10 all time. Yeah. You just said he was eighth all time. So let's not say Kyrie because he's nowhere in the argument. If you're an eighth.
But Kyrie had 41 in those finals and he also made the game winning shot. So yes, you do have to
mention
Kyrie.
Let me ask you this. Ask you this. If LeBron now gets KD tomorrow. And he wins the next two rings. Are you going to say he's the greatest player of all time because of those KD rings? Especially if KD plays better than him? You're going to say...
I'm going to give you the same
answer. Spoiler alert is going to be you're not going to give LeBron
credit. No, I'm not. Because LeBron had a whole career that was a Hall of Fame before he met KD. That's why. I wouldn't say that. Like, people love to forget the two finals he made before he got KD. He went to two straight finals. And he was the MVP in two of those years he went.
Yeah, but...
Again, Larry Bird went to three straight finals... Or three finals or whatever. He had three MVPs. He won one ring in all those. Steph won two rings in that span that you're talking about. So, but that's held against him for playing with a dude who he beat in order to even get there.
But my argument again is if LeBron beat him and then KD joined LeBron, we would be killing LeBron for that. We wouldn't just be killing KD. We would be killing LeBron for that. So why are you mad that Steph has that held against him? Because you're saying his rival, LeBron, you would hold that against him as well.
Steph has, like I said, unless you lost by, what, four or whatever. Like, again, when LeBron underachieved in 2011, he lost in five. He didn't lose in seven. He didn't lose in six. Dwayne Wade averaged 25. You still lost in five. The same Curry, the same finals are saying Curry choking. So he lost by 4 points. So and the dude who beat him wasn't even LeBron. It was Kyrie who made the shot. So, but that's the same thing we hold against him?
But who was finals MVP?
It was LeBron James.
Not because of popularity, it's because he played the best in that series.
So my point,
in the series where he lost to Kevin Durant, and that he led both teams in all statistical categories.
Because he had the highest usage on the KD, court. So obviously he had KD.
But so if he had KD, are you going to hold it against Steph for losing to LeBron then? If LeBron had KD?
Steph has no business even being in the same breath as LeBron.
Okay.
So tell me why he has won 3 rings against LeBron. Tell me why the dude he played with, he beat in order to even get him on his team to even beat you in the first
place. Because of that tall, lanky man.
That got swept by the same team that Steph beat this year and is now trying to trade to get another team.
All right. That's with all the Curry fan stuff, we get it. I'm just saying that LeBron... whether we think the media fandom of LeBron is nasty or not, what LeBron has accomplished in his career cannot be ignored. Bare minimum, whether how we feel it or not, I'm not a LeBron fan, but at minimum, he's top three all time. Just the numbers, the accolades, the accomplishments, the playoff moments, they all suggest that. And anything that we do to try to diminish that, to slide him to five or six or eight or whatever, like how Skip Bayless has him at nine, now we're just playing semantics game and we're nitpicking.
But in totality of
basketball, if anybody else who maybe, if it was Tim Duncan, because he doesn't talk, he doesn't showboat, he doesn't have the whole media machine behind him, if he accomplished the same thing LeBron James did, we would all be like, fam, he's top two at least all time. So I can separate the two. I can say LeBron James, the media shit is ridiculous, and he's not the greatest of all time. But I can also say what he's done on the court is still like superseding. And then we didn't even talk about the hype that he got. Like you just said, all these expectations, they were coronating this man before he even stepped on the NBA court. Everyone thought he was going to be one of the greatest players to ever play. And the fact that he still became that and even exceeded people's expectations should be praised for that. So that being said, LeBron's two for me. He's six for you. I feel like maybe we could just average that out and put a four, which is fine. It's whatever. But other than that, I don't think we have any other issues with anybody else on the list, right?
Yeah, everything's right.
I think we're going to wrap it up right here, man. I'm sorry if it got a little too heated. We're just really passionate about basketball, man. And if you guys, like this one, we appreciate it. We're going to come out with another pod, a couple days later. We're going to do a top 10 right now, actually. I think that one's going to get pretty interesting, too, because I'm sure he probably has Steph number one in the league right now. And I'm sure a lot of people do, too, or at least top three. And so I think it'll be interesting to talk about those players too. But follow us on Instagram. Jay, say your IG.
IG is gonna be JAY_Francis_WTA.
Right, and my Instagram is too easy. That's 2EEZY. We're gonna be trying to come up with more podcasts, more fun. I know it's an off season, but we're gonna try to come up with some creative things. And so, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bang bang bang.
All right.